Welcome to Pastor to Pastor, a ministry podcast with Pastor Mike Stone of Emmanuel Baptist Church in Blackshear, Georgia. More information is available at PastorMikeStone.com. And now, here's Pastor Mike.
Welcome back. This is Mike Stone, the host of Pastor to Pastor. It's a ministry podcast designed to help the busy pastor faithfully and biblically shepherd the local congregation. The episodes will drop at the end of the week. We'll focus on the ministry challenges and opportunities facing our Southern Baptist Convention. As many of you know, I am an announced candidate for the presidency of the SBC, and we hold our annual meeting this June in Nashville, Tennessee. But at the first of the week, I want to share sermon starters, some resources and sermon ideas to help that busy volunteer bivocational pastor prepare to faithfully lead the congregation. And today I'm especially blessed to have a guest with me in studio. Pastor Chad Campbell is the pastor of the Mount Pisgah Baptist Church in Easley, South Carolina, a vibrant, growing congregation in the Greenville, South Carolina area. Brother Chad is in town preaching spring revival for our congregation here in South Georgia, and it is a privilege to have him here for Pastor to Pastor. Brother Chad, one of the things that we want to talk about is to help pastors in the local church in the area of sermon preparation. And I want to talk for just a few minutes about preparing to preach at funerals. Death is a reality. The Bible says in Hebrews 9:27, it is appointed unto man once to die, after that the judgment, and many of those that are dying will be members and of our congregation or somehow connected to our church. So we want to talk about preparing for the funeral sermon. Now, I'm assuming that these pastors that are listening, they understand the need of making that pastoral touch of ministry. But just real briefly, talk to our listeners about your approach to making that initial contact. Wherever you are, you've gotten a text or a call from the office that Mrs. Smith has died. What is your approach pastorally about beginning to minister to that family?
Well, Mike, first of all, let me say thank you for allowing me to be a part of the Pastor to Pastor podcast. I am a subscriber and a listener, and I'm grateful to be a part of this today. And funerals is something that is so vital to the ministry of the local pastor. And it's something that we all will walk through times of losing church members that are so precious to us. Mm. And because they are so precious to us, we want to make contact as soon as possible. So as a pastor, what I try to do, I've gotten that phone call, and I want to have a touch as quickly as I can possibly have a touch. I may be in the midst of something. You may be a pastor listening today that's bivocational. You may be in the middle of a project at work. You can't step away and make a phone call, but you can shoot a quick text. And in that text, just let them know that you have gotten the word of the passing, and that you'll be in touch with them as soon as you possibly can get away. But I would encourage you, pastor, don't underestimate the power of a touch. You're their pastor. They love you. And 99% of your families understand that you are bivocational. Mm-hmm. They understand that. But just don't underestimate the power of a touch. And I try to make that touch as quickly as possible.
Yeah, and even if it's a phone call or even a text message, the thing that prevents it from being a cold call or a stale text message is the ministry that would follow that up. There's a sense in which if all you're going to do is send a text message and never follow up, you may have been better off to have done nothing. The criticism comes if you don't follow that up with a more meaningful and substantial ministry.
No question.
I do think that one of the challenges for many of our pastors is the actual sermon. And in the Pastor to Pastor podcast, we want to share some sermon ideas, sermon starters that pastors can use as resources as they prepare, in this case, for funeral sermons. So let me kind of transition with a question. Do you write a brand new, unique funeral sermon, or do you have some go-to outlines and some go-to texts that you, quite frankly, use and reuse?
Mike, I have about 10, maybe, go-tos. Mm-hmm. 8, 9, 10 go-tos. And I think any pastor that's being honest would say, sure, you have those funeral go-to texts. And to be honest with you, what I have done, and a friend of mine really encouraged me to do this, and it's been helpful for me, and I think for those of you that are listening today, you may find this helpful as well. But I have a Bible that I use primarily for funerals. I call it my funeral Bible. Mm-hmm. I have outlines written all through that Bible. I have poems that are in there. I have illustrations that may be in there. And that helps me as I, you know, because you've got a day or two usually to pull something together, and you've got to eulogize that person that has passed on. But absolutely, I've got some outlines that I will go to at a time of preparing for funerals, yes.
If you're using and reusing those, has there ever been a danger? You're in a larger church, which would mean more of everything, including more funerals. Do you ever feel like they are overused, or does kind of the death rate and the fact that you've got 8 or 10 of them, does it sort of just even itself out over time?
Mike, I would say it evens itself out over time. And what you'll find out is, you know, typically those loved ones who have passed in your congregation, and you know the text that you want to use specific to that person and honoring that person and comforting that family. Just use your pastoral instincts to guide you to a text, and then through prayer, God will solidify that for you.
I've actually done something intentionally where I've been at this church almost 25 years now. If I preached, for example, your mother's funeral, and then some year or years later, I'm preaching your father's funeral, I have intentionally gone back and preached the exact same text, even using the same outline, and stated that up front. You know, if you keep good records, or you can even make a generic reference that several years ago we were here with your mother, and my records indicate I was in Psalm 23, and God's word to this dear family has not changed. I want to go back to that same text. So sort of own the fact. And I found that to actually be meaningful, and it frees me up to repeat an outline without wondering, do they think that I've been, you know, exegetically lazy in preparing this sermon? So if you've got several sermons that are kind of go-to sermons, do you have one that you would share with our listeners and that they'd have the freedom to kind of use, hang their own meat on that outline?
Mike, the outline that I find myself going to probably most often, it's just one of my favorite Bible characters. It's Peter. Mm-hmm. And in 1 Peter chapter 1, he says, "Blessed be the God and our Father, our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercies has begotten us again to a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you." And I talk about that there is resurrection, that because Jesus rose from the grave, those that died in Christ are going to rise from the grave. So in that text, there's resurrection, there's reward, there's an inheritance, incorruptible, undefiled, fadeth not away. And then there is reservation. Mm-hmm. And here is where I try to bring in the evangelistic side of the sermon, is you've got to make a reservation in heaven. Well, how do you go about making a reservation? Through repentance and faith. Mm-hmm. And then ultimately, I close it with, there is rejoicing. Because one of these days, there'll be reunion. We can rejoice over the fact that our loved one is safe and secure in the arms of Jesus. So I just take that first part of 1 Peter and talk about there is resurrection, there is reward, there's a reservation, and there is rejoicing.
That's a great outline. And with your permission, we'll just drop that simple outline in the episode notes. And Pastor, if you can use that and in your own preaching ministry, you may just jot those words in the margin of your own Bible there in 1 Peter chapter 1 and use that when you have a funeral responsibility. Chad, I also have kind of those go-to sermons, and mine tend to have three objectives. Sometimes the sermon will even have three points to it, but I have three objectives. I want to eulogize the deceased as best as possible, and that varies from situation to situation, but I want to celebrate the life to the extent that you can. Certainly, if they're a believer, you can rejoice in that. But objective number one is to eulogize the deceased and personalize the service. Secondly, is to comfort the family. And thirdly, is to preach the gospel. Now, two of those three are relatively unchanging. The issue of comforting the family may vary depending on the circumstances of that death and what's going on within that extended family. The gospel, of course, is unchanging. That's always the same. Do you find that having the set sermon outlines and a set approach, does that assist you in the actual sermon preparation, particularly in the area of time management?
Well, absolutely. Because often, as I said a few minutes ago, is you get that word about an untimely passing of a church member. Let's say, those of you that are listening, you're a bivocational pastor. You've got 48 hours. You've got a full-time job. And we all know that that are in ministry that Sunday comes every 2.5 days.
Right.
And you've got another sermon to prepare. But I have found to have some pre-prepared funeral outlines certainly make it more effective when you stand to preach, that you're not scurrying around trying to find something to preach. You've got something to go to that accomplishes what it is you want to accomplish. Comfort the family, present the gospel. And I just find that makes it a lot easier, Mike.
When it comes to the eulogy portion, and sometimes there may be a family member that's going to actually do what we call a eulogy, and you're just going to come and preach. Even in that, I try to personalize my part as much as possible. How do you go about that to make it personal while avoiding the very real potential that you're sharing things about the person that they're really not true, or at least don't represent that person in the eyes of the family? What's a practical thing you would do to help avoid that danger?
When you make that initial contact with the family in person, and you're providing that comfort, you're praying with that family, inevitably, they love to talk about their loved one. And you want them to talk about their loved one that has passed. And as they talk, you can make some notes. Uncle Bobby said about Miss Smith. Jenny Johnson said about Miss Smith. And you can portray what the words of the family were as you eulogize them to provide yourself some cover, if you will.
Yeah, if it's a lie, Uncle Bobby told
that's it. That's right. This came from the family. And that engages that family in the service as well, and they appreciate that, I have found.
Yeah, I take the same approach. One question I ask the family when I meet with them, it's a difficult question to answer, and I acknowledge that when I pose it. But, you know, I say, how would you finish this question or this statement? The thing I'll always remember about my mother, my granny, my meemaw, the thing, she was always so blank. What word or word would you put into that blank? And then as I begin sharing that portion of the sermon, I just kind of go down my list. Sometimes it's on a slip of paper. Sometimes if I'm with the family, I'll open up the notes app on my phone and write down the name of the person who said it and the words that they used. And that really helps make it personal. And as you've suggested, it kind of helps protect you if you share something that somebody else in the church may not think is accurate. You're just quoting what somebody else has said. So we're going to drop your sermon outline from 1 Peter chapter 1 in the episode notes, and pastors can use that. Real quickly, I'll just share one of my own that I use from Psalm 116, verse 15. Very familiar and comforting text. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of His saints. One translation says the death of His holy ones. And I'll try to take that threefold purpose of eulogize the dead, comfort the family, preach the gospel, and I'll do that out of that one verse. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of His saints. Precious, I call that what God says. Precious. And you may talk about precious mother, precious father, precious child, whatever. You eulogize the deceased there. Precious. That's what God says. In the sight of the Lord, that God sees. Mm. And I'll try to comfort the family there. God sees your hurt. He sees your grief. If there was an extended illness, hey, God saw the way you cared for your mother. God saw the way that you provided for your father. So there's what God says, there's that God sees, and then how God saves is the death of His saints. Every death is not precious in the sight of the Lord, but the death of His saints is. So we ask the question, how do I become a saint? And just simply present the gospel. Brother Chad, thank you so much for your time. I know that these simple words of insight and experience will be a blessing, especially to those busy pastors as we seek to minister in a time of loss. Finally, I would just say on this point, when you meet with that family and pray with that family, don't underestimate the power of all that you can present in a simple prayer. And I close my funeral prayers in the home or in the funeral service, praying in the name of one who said of himself, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. Well, later this week, we will drop another episode sharing some of the challenges and leadership opportunities within our Southern Baptist Convention. In the meantime, I hope you'll subscribe to this podcast, share the link with a friend, and join us each and every time that we meet together, Pastor to Pastor.